hey, it seems like every year when we come together and as a church and have Sunday school class, we have shortfalls in our giving. And I hate that. I would hope that, you know, that everybody just keep doing the same thing as far as their giving. But, you know, I just know people and chains a lot of times have problems. We're going to be, I told you I was going to be starting a new series, and I give you some scripture to read last week. I hope you did. Looked over that first chapter of the book of Romans. And we'll be looking a little bit over there this morning. But what we're going to be looking at for the next while, and the underlying theme of this is has to do with things, traditions, and different things that undermine the Word of God. And we're going to be looking at that, and well, if I were to put a title on this series, it would be Maintaining the Weapons of Our Warfare, Which Are Not Carnal. And so what we're going to be looking at is we're going to be looking at these weapons, and we're going to look at how the world and the flesh and the devil tries to undermine and corrupt these weapons that the Lord has given us to war a good warfare. Now, the first one I want to look at this morning, I'll tell you what, if you take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll look at the armor of God. And Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." And that's the only way we can be strong. "And in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not." Did I pronounce that right? I say wrestle? No, it's wrestle. "Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having..." Now, I want you to notice something here. You can look at this whole armor of God, and you look at it, and every place in there, for every one of these weapons, I know it says down here, and it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, but every last one of these articles has to do with the Word of God. The shield of faith. Faith cometh how? By hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So you can actually look at this, and I'll tell you what else you can do. Since it's the Word of God, I could say here, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, which is Christ Jesus." I could say that because He is our whole armor. If I wouldn't be doing any kind of damage, I believe, to the Word of God if I was just to put Christ Jesus in. If we let Christ Jesus, you know, rule and reign in our hearts and lives, then all of this would be covered. We get up every morning and say, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." And in doing that, if we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to put on all these weapons of our warfare. But God has divided them up there because we need to look at each one of these areas in our lives. And He says, "Taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And thy word is truth." Jesus is the living word. Right?
Amen.
He's the way, the truth, and the life. So we can say, we can look there, it says, "Stand there, we're having your loins girt about with the Word of God." Because it's truth. I could say that and not do any damage to the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God. "Having on the breastplate of righteousness." And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is our righteousness. So again, it's the living Word of God. It's Christ Jesus that is our righteousness. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace," which is what? The gospel is the Word of God. The good news is the Word of God. Now, There's a lot of different gospels in the Bible, but there's only one gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is his death, the burial, and the resurrection. But there's more than one gospel that you can find recorded in the Bible. You know, there's the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom of God, that the king is going to come back and set up a kingdom and rule in righteousness. That's the good news of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. This is truth. God didn't give us that gospel to preach. You can't tell Jehovah's Witnesses that, though, because that's the only one they got to preach. They base it all off of the life that the Lord Jesus Christ lived, and they try to imitate Christ. Now, it's not a bad thing to try to imitate Christ, but you're better off to let Christ live in you. Let him just have his will and way and work, teach you. And so you learn going about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I can even look down in verse 18, and we can see right there, even prayer has to be according to the Word of God. How are you going to know how to pray without the Word of God? How are you going to know how to pray without the Word of God? The Word of God teaches us to pray. Amen. And how to pray and what we are to pray for. Bible said, praying with all prayer. One of these days, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do a real big study on that, what that all prayer is, Brother Rick. I mean, it says praying with all prayer. So, and you look in there, there's different kinds of prayer in the Word of God. Supplications, you know, for your needs, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And there's all kinds of prayer, you know. And the Bible says to pray with all prayer. Praying in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. And it also says, pray with understanding. Because the Spirit prayeth in words that cannot be uttered. We don't know what He's praying for us. But we're to pray in the Spirit. But also we're to pray with understanding. And the more we study and know the Word of God and know about prayer, the more we get into this Word, the better we should be able to pray. And pray with understanding. God wants us to understand, you know, if every one of us had the understanding of Jesus Christ, everything we ever asked for, it would get answered with a yes.
Amen.
With a yes. If we could pray like Jesus with that understanding, the only time, Jesus didn't say, oh God, you know, deliver me from this. He said, but not my will, but thine be done. You know? So if we can learn to pray, see, because Jesus' prayer wasn't that he would be delivered. His prayer was, thy will be done. He let God know that, hey, I'm struggling right now. I'm suffering right now with what I know is getting ready to come upon me. I can feel, man, them imps of hell were jumping up and down on him, trying to keep him from going to the cross. They would have killed him in that garden if they could have. They'd have loved to provoke them soldiers to, you know, to try to kill him. But they couldn't. It's impossible. You know, if them imps couldn't kill him there in the garden, I guarantee you, what nothing in the world could do. But Jesus Christ, if we could learn to pray like him, let his word be in us, and we pray after the word of God and praying completely in the will of God, every prayer we will ever pray will be yes. And we need to learn these things. But what we want to look at right now, this day, is that over there he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now I want you to take your Bibles now. I want you to turn over to... first thing I'm going to look at is three types of the Word of God we found over and over and over in the Word. One of them is the living Word. The living Word. Which is the Lord Jesus Christ. You look in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same as in the beginning with God. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. So we have the living Word of God. And then we have the written Word of God, the Scriptures. That we, you know, and Jesus said, study the Scriptures. For in them you think you have life, and they are those that speak of me. So we know that the written word is just a way that we can know God and see Him and understand Him and know His mind and His will. And God has promised that neither a jot nor a tittle would anywise pass until all things were fulfilled. We know that Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Over in the book of Psalms, it says that His word is pure, and it is forever settled in heaven. And also, not only is it pure and forever settled in heaven, but God would preserve it from this generation and forever. So it's eternally settled, preserved word of God. And I'm talking about the written word of God. And I mean this, if you could take this Bible and make a man out of this Bible, you'd have Jesus Christ. You'd have God in flesh. That's what you would have. This Word of God, if you can't, hey, man, people, I've heard people say this, well, if God would just show me and tell me what to do, I said, He already has, but you don't listen. That's your problem. Your problem is you won't listen to Him. What makes you think if God spoke to you verbally, you would listen to Him any better? Peter said, hey, we're one. He actually heard. Now, we're going to look at that for a little bit. There's the spoken word of God. And he heard the spoken word of God. He was there. He heard Christ speak. And not only that, but he heard God the Father speak from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. Huh? So they heard the spoken word, and what did Peter say? We have a more sure word, speaking of the Scriptures. He said, why is it more sure? Well, for one thing, hey, the others is based on your memory, what you can remember of what God had said. God had recorded it so they could look at it and study it. And we're going to look at this thing. And then not only do we have the living Word of God and have the written Word of God, we have the engrafted Word of God. You say, what is that? What's the engrafted Word? Think about it. What is the engrafted Word? That's Jesus Christ in you. Amen? He's a living Word. He said, I will come unto you. He told him, he said, I'll leave. Go away. I'm going to send you another Comforter, which is the Spirit of God. He said, I will come unto you. So Jesus Christ comes back and lives in every individual in the person of the Spirit. They're one. So now you have the engrafted word, which teaches you the written word, so that you could hear the spoken word of God. Amen? And if the engrafted word coupled with this does not equal the spoken word of God, then you got a problem in your heart and life. If you're sitting there and you can hear, you can read this Bible and want to argue with it, then you got a problem. You're arguing with God. You're not wanting to listen to God. And that's what we need to get that in our minds, that if we, when we're reading this Bible, whatever it says for us to do, we do. We do. He said, well, if it's out over where it says go out there and get you a calf and take it over and sacrifice. We ain't got no temple to go to. You've got to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. This Bible is progressive. It moves along. Hey, it's teaching us day by day how we ought to live and grow in the word of God. So, I mean, when I say listen to the word, I'm talking about the Word of God as the engrafted Word teaches us. See, you need to have that close relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, who will teach you all things. It's not just a matter of going out here, Brother Rick, and pulling out some scriptures here, saying, that's where I'm going to stand. No, it's got to be with the, you got to have understanding of the of these scriptures. If that's your mentality, if you want to take and read this Bible, there's a lot of scholars. That's what they've done. They went out there, and this is where the church has gotten ourselves in such trouble today, and so many problems. It's in our colleges and in our places of higher learning, which are saying, well, the Word of God, and they'll take, and they're, you know what they're leaning on? Their own understanding. They're leaning on scholarship. And that ain't nothing but pride, folks. And I'm going to tell you something. We need to understand that's not just a malady of the liberals. That's a malady of every man. It's a problem we all must wrestle with. We all have to own up to our own problems. You carry around a body of flesh, and that thing, there's nothing good in it. It's just as proud as it's ever been. I was telling Brother Sines here, I said, I went to a football game last night, and I thought I might have to fight to get out of there. These people are acting crazy over a little kid's football game. Man, I'm tell you what, I was sitting there thinking that, well, my wife, we're getting ready to leave. They've been over fighting in the stands over there. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to face when I come up in there. And I told him, I said, I had a weapon on me. I did. I was nervous coming out of there. I'm just being, you know what that is? That's my flesh. That was my flesh. That wasn't the spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. I tell you, I was walking down through in the flesh, but I was crying after the Spirit. I said, Lord, don't make me have to use this pocket knife I got in my hand. Please, I said, Lord, let I'm every person I met. Hey, how you doing? This is y'all night. I'm letting you know. Just being just as sweet as I can be, but I want to weave my way out of there and never make it back again. Because that's where they do it at a kid's football game. I don't want no part of that. I mean, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how crazy people are getting. Well, they've always been that way.
Yeah.
My wife, you know, she was sitting there talking. I said, it's always been that way. He says, no. I said, yeah, it has too. I said, man, back when we was in high school, they'd get out there and they'd play a football game. I said, you know what they do after the football game? They'd all go uptown and get in their little groups and fight.
Yep.
Amen. You shaking your head? Y'all did they do that when you was in school too? Stupid people. That's the craziest thing I ever seen. I stayed away from them places growing up. I didn't like to fight. It hurt. Win or lose, it hurt. I didn't enjoy it. Some people did. Well, I used to know, boy, you bloody his mouth, he'd make him grin. He just liked it. He liked it. He liked to fight. A little bit of pain didn't bother him. He had a little masochism in him. Smack me, boy. Hit me, hurt me, I'm going to hurt you right back. Bow. I didn't have none of that in me, Brother Rick. I didn't enjoy it a lick. I fight for preservation, that was it. But it was no fun, never was, never enjoyed it. But there's this thing of pride. I want you to take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Earth was out form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, here we find a spoken word. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And again, God said, and God said. Until all of creation was in position. And then God made man, and he formed him with his own hands. And he told him to be fruitful, multiply, and to replenish the earth, refill the earth. And then, hath God said? Is that what God said? That's what he said. And replenish the earth. He didn't say replenish the earth. He said replenish the earth. I don't know. You ask me what that means? I don't know altogether. But I know it means what it says. Plenty of places I can find you in Scripture where he said plenish. That means fill. When it says replenish, it means to refill. There was a judgment there that took place. I know that in Genesis 1, verses 2. There was some kind of judgment. God didn't make nothing without form and void. God, there was a judgment. Judgment fell upon this earth. And I believe it was against Lucifer and that clan that fell out with him. Because his place was upon the earth. He had made him a place. He was there. The Bible said he was in the... And you can read that. And that's what I believe. And from what I can see in the Scriptures, that's what I see. But I would never dogmatically teach that. But I ain't going to go with this. You say, how old is the world? Well, from my understanding, that old creation there wasn't in time. It wasn't during time, Brother Rick, because the evening and the morning was the first day. So this was before time. He said, what was it? It was God's creation. God created the heaven and the earth, and then the earth without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved across the face of the waters. I don't know everything. I don't know much of anything. But I do know that the Word of God means what it says, and it says what it means. And I'm going to let God explain it all to me as we go. I'm not going to make presumptuous statements and say, well, it really means this. It really means just to feel. That ain't what it says. It says refill. So don't be meddling with the Word of God is what I'm saying. If you don't understand, don't know what it really means, just simply say, I don't know. You know it's the glory of God to conceal the matter. And it's the glory of kings to find out a matter. So God puts questions in there for us to do what? Dig and search and look. Look, everybody's asked this question, you know. Who is Melchizedek? Who was this Melchizedek? There's a lot of people that tell you they got it all figured out. I ain't got it figured out. I've been searching that question for 30-some years, ever since I got saved. I've wondered about him. What does that all mean? Having neither father nor mother, or beginning of days or end of days. And that Jesus Christ was made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, I don't know. I don't understand all that. Maybe you got to figure it out. If you can, lay it out for me, show me all the scriptures and give me the notes and everything so I can stand it. But I'd like to figure it out. I'd like to see that. And if you can explain that to me about that replenish, I'll go with that too. But I do know one thing. The devil takes little things like that, and he'll try to question the Word of God. I got plenty of Scripture that satisfies me about these questions. It makes my heart beat thinking about the might, the power, the wisdom of Almighty God, that His ways are so much higher than my ways in pathfinding out. That I can just rely and trust in Him, and He'll teach me what it is I need to know. But don't be meddling with His Word. When I hear people say a better rendering would be, or whatever, first thing I do is I mark that person. And when it says in the originals, I mark that person. Well, there's only one original. That's when it was spoke. is forever settled in heaven. God's got it laid out. No man has ever seen the originals. Some of them got to hear some of them, but nobody has seen the originals. I got the preserved Word of God, and I believe that with all my heart, and I have no question about that, that everything that I read in here is exactly what God wants me to have, period.
Amen.
And it's absolutely perfect, true, complete. That thing's in there, and it's not been revealed. It's going to be revealed. People say there's nothing new under the sun. I'm going to tell you something. There's some teaching that's going to be new one day because nobody's ever heard it before. That's going to be during that tribulation period. It's been sealed up until that time. I can't teach you about it. If you want to hear about it, you're going to have to go through it. How many of you want to be here to learn? I'm sure God will show us in heaven. You ain't going to know it down here unless you go through it. It's not going to be taught until that time. When them seven thunders thunders and God opens the seals on that and reveals what he said. Those things that he wrote to Brother Daniel over there, he said, seal up those things until when? The end. And you can find that again over in the book of Revelation. We've got the spoken word and the attack on the spoken word, and you find that in chapter 3 of Genesis. After God created everything, made man, and he says, in 3 and, in verse 1, that a serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. And then he tells a lie. You shall not, hath not God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He wrested the scriptures. He twisted them. He changed the truth of God into a lie. You find that in Romans chapter 1. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree was in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. True. And neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Well, if God said that, it's not written down. I'm not going to say he didn't say that. I wasn't there. But it's not recorded. And the Bible said, add not unto his words, lest thou be found a liar. And then, it all goes on to say, and ye be ashamed. A little bit later, if she did add to the word of God, what do you find her? Naked and ashamed. So we got to be careful about adding to this word of God. And buddy, when we hear people that wants to add to or take away from the word of God, we need to mark them. And we need to pray and ask God to show us the truth, what it means. I've sat under many a preacher, and I don't think that they meant to add to the Word of God, but I feel like they did in certain cases. I marked that. I just wrote it off. And I said, God, no, none of us is perfect. I understand that. But so we find the attack on the spoken Word of God, and attack on the spoken Word in Genesis. And I'm going to tell you one. You know what our greatest enemy is? And this is what the devil tries to do by his twisting and wrestling in the scriptures. He tries to get us in unbelief. So we don't know what to believe. If you can find a problem with the Word of God, what you going to believe? What are you going to believe? Who are you going to trust? You want to trust God who said that he would preserve this word and keep it for us? Or are you going to believe the guy with the 4 or 5 DVDs behind his name who's been a Bible scholar for 50 years, and well, he's traveled to the You know, the Holy Lands, and they dug around, scratched around, and all these old books and the old extant letters, and they'll come back and tell you, say, well, what that really meant in the Hebrew and in the Greek. Well, how do you know? First of all, you got the right one. Brother Rick, how you going to know that? You reckon there was any cults around at that time? You reckon they was writing any material back in that day? You reckon there was any NIVs, RVs, or ASVs back then? Huh? Huh?
Amen.
They've always existed. They've always been. From dawn of time, they've been taking and twisting and wresting the scriptures to their own destruction. So what you going to trust? You going to trust scholarship? Or you going to trust God? I ask this question all the time. I want you to ask yourself this. Is this Bible, this King James Bible that I hold in my hand, is it right? Ask yourself that question. Is it right? Then I want to ask you this question. How do you know it's right? Ask yourself, how do I know it's right? Brother Jim, I believe you believe it's right. How do you know it's right? And we all have to answer that question for ourselves because, hey, the enemy is going to tell you, has God said? And the Bible says you can't lean to your own understanding. But all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. I've read those little books put out by the Independent Baptists and by different groups of people about how we know that the Word of God is right. The King James Bible, the Textus Receptus is correct. And they'll give you all this stuff. Boy, how it came up from this. And how do I know what they're telling me right, Brother Rick? It might be right, but how do I know that? That's just scholarship. That's just history. As recorded by man. Who am I going to trust? The reason why I know this is the Word of God. Back in 1984, that issue rose up in my head. By 1985, it was roaring in my mind because everywhere I go, the enemy was taking and speaking, hath God said. Through Bible teachers, through preachers, through denominations. And they all had their reasoning. And I've heard it. I heard it from the Independents. I heard it from the Methodists. I heard it from different groups. I heard it from the Pentecostals. How you know that the Word of God was true. And none of it made no sense to me. I said, how can you prove that? It's good. That you know it, but how can you prove it through scholarship? How can I trust what you're saying? Why should I believe you? Finally put me in my bedroom alone praying and saying, oh God, help me. And the Holy Spirit of God began to show me what was true. I know this Bible is true because God told me it was true, and that's the only way. That's where my whole trust. What you going to trust? You going to trust God? You going to trust preachers? You going to trust teachers? Or you going to trust God? God showed me different things through the Word of God, and I'm no great Bible teacher, but I do. There's one thing I'm thankful that I know, is that this Bible is true, and I can tell people that it's true, and I can encourage people not to trust people, but to trust God to teach them the truth, because God said that He would give us a teacher. So we have the spoken word and this attack against the spoken word. And the three main enemies of God's word is the world. That's one of them, the world. The lust of the, you know, all that's in the world is what? The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. One of the greatest ones amongst that, you're drawn away by the lust of the eye and the pride and the lust of the flesh. You know, because in this world, hey, if you hear the world will love you, amen, and they'll promote you. So if you like these people, it's in whatever kind of politics it's in, politics of government or politics of religion. Oh, there's politics in religion. If you want to be accepted by the brethren, you know what I'm saying? You got to go by their politics. What they believe, what they teach, what they stand on. So there's a call of lust that is going to call, if you're not careful, as a teacher or a preacher, you're going to be called to the politics of religion. That's going to encourage you to, it's the way we do it. It's what we believe. It's right. And I'm going to tell you something, that kind of thing is what had happened before Christ came on the scene, because everyone was following the traditions of the elders. And that ain't what we want. We want to follow God. Amen? Who was with John the Baptist when he went out in the wilderness? God. There wasn't nobody out there. That's right, John. Give it to him. He was alone. Jesus came out and started preaching. Oh, all the religious people got right in behind. Hey, boy, we finally got somebody who's going to be teaching and telling the truth. And they're going to be right in behind him, encouraging him, right? No, they're trying to kill him from the very get-go. Why would you think it would be any different today? We just need to believe God, believe His Word, and let Him guide us and show us. And these enemies of this world, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Boy, I remember hearing Peter Ruckman say this many times. And I ain't a huge fan of Peter Ruckman, but I like a few things he said. And I like this one thing he said. He said, yeah, I think some of you out there, you know, and this is it, pride. You know, he says, hey, I can study this, I can learn this, and then I can judge this Bible. I can be a teacher. I can be a master of the Word of God. You'll think I'm some great one. You can follow after me. That's what a lot of that goes on. And I don't think a lot of them intend to start out that way, but what happens over a period of time and listening, hey, I've never seen it fail. You know, Brother Rick, how many times you've seen where you got, if there's a Bible college and you get a preacher, you get started a church, the people that come in and speak to that church, where do they tend to usually come from? I'm on the right track, am I not?
Yes, sir.
So what you're going to have end up is you're going to have the traditions of what? Of a particular Bible college. Or this Bible college over here might not exactly line up. They're not our kind. You ain't never heard that, have you?
Mm-hmm.
They're not our kind. What kind are we? What do you mean they're not our kind? If they're believers, they're our kind. If they're saved, they're our kind. If they are really trusting Jesus Christ, they're our kind. We're one. So who's causing this division and strife? Who's behind that, you think? It's the world. It's the flesh. They ain't our kind. They ain't as right as we are. If I find anything better, I'll go with that. Well, I found something better.
Amen.
I found something better. I ain't going with them. Brother Ed Blue said one time, said, I ain't going with them. I ain't going with them. I'm going with this word right here, and as the Holy Spirit of God teaches me. And we got the world. Hey, then it promotes unbelief. And you got the lust of this world. You got the lust of the flesh. And you got the pride of life. This world, the lust of this world, the lust of flesh, pride of life. The flesh, it lusts or desires the things of the flesh, and our flesh is in enmity with the Spirit of God. And if we ain't careful, hey, because we want to be accepted. Don't everybody like to be accepted? You like to be loved, you know? Everybody likes to be accepted, don't they, brother? But if you want to stick with Jesus Christ down there at County Hall or City Hall or Buxton County, you know what I'm saying? If you want to stick with the truth and really stick with it, you ain't going to be loved. You ain't going to be accepted. And they're not going to be for you. There's going to be some rejection. Your pride don't like that. And if you're not careful, you start listening to you and walking in your own understanding, you'll start making decisions. Well, it's not really that bad. You know, maybe I'm not right altogether right on this. And you start, next thing you know, you start walking a little bit. But either way, you're going to round up in the doggone ditch if you're listening to yourself. So you can't trust you can't trust the world. And surely you cannot trust the devil, because he's a liar and the father of it. And he's the enemy of this word of God. He's constantly trying to set traps out there. I'll never forget when I was in the Methodist Church, I got called on to teach in a vacation Bible school, the adult classes. And one thing, and I discussed this matter right here, this Bible is full of traps. It's full of traps. God said, I have made their table a snare and a stumbling block. So God's got to put all kinds of traps in this Bible. You say, why in the world would God put traps in that Bible? Because there's a lot of people try to use it, and God will trap them. That's the reason why the Jehovah's Witnesses don't know who Jesus Christ is. They've been trapped. That's the reason why the hyper-Calvinist, he can't understand how we can have free will and yet God be sovereign in everything that he does. I ain't saying I got that all figured out, but I do know one thing. Jesus Christ died for every man. And every man makes their own choice. And just because God knows who, doesn't mean that they have to do a part from their own mind, their own will. They weren't made to be destroyed. God have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The devil, he's a destroyer, and he's the soul of pride, and he works. And we didn't get to Romans chapter 1, but next week we will be getting into Romans chapter 1. We're going to show how the gospel is perverted, how the truth is twisted, how the righteousness of God is turned into the righteousness of man, how the written word is, even though it is not destroyed, because, you know, I can carry a King James Bible and I can teach from it, and I could be leading you down to a path that is totally away from God. I can. Years ago, I heard old Benny Ladder. He asked this question. He said, I can give you He said, I can give you scripture for or against anything you can think of. For or against it. He said, you know what that means? I said, yeah. I said, that means you can feel, I said, you can teach a person and put him under guilt, but only God can bring conviction. I can take that word of God and try to make people feel guilty by it and try to get them to follow me and make an agenda and try to follow after me. And boy, I can just heap guilt. Because I can show you things in here where we constantly are failing to follow after. And a lot of people have done that. They're building up their own little kingdom and leading people astray. But I'm telling you right now, only God can give you true, heaven-sent conviction. And they can't nobody take that away from you. Nobody. I have a great conviction right here that this Bible is absolutely correct. If somebody comes at me and puts a question in my mind, the first thing I'm doing is fall down. Say, oh God, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Show me. I said, I ain't got it figured out, but you do. I trust you. When you don't know what direction to turn, don't turn. Stay right there. Pray. Ask for understanding. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we